I remember several years ago, the previous pastorate, at a family Christmas Eve service, I invited the children to help me share, to tell the Christmas story. It was always fun, and the kids seemed to enjoy it. And by the end of the telling the story, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, a donkey, some sheep, shepherd, angels, wise men were all at the manger, all at the same time there at the front of the sanctuary. And nobody had any trouble with it, because that's how the Bible tells it, right? The donkey, however, this particular year knew differently. Our Christmas Eve donkey that year happened to be Matthew McAdam, smart as a whip. And as the kids were taking off their costumes and going back to their pew, Matthew came up to me and said, "I thought the wise men went to the house where Jesus was." Wow, was I impressed. I love biblical literacy. I said, "Matthew, you are exactly right. We're kind of just fudging with the story tonight." And what a fabulous story it is. Mysterious visitors from the exotic east, a star in the heavens in a long trip, a madman king, and precious gifts. Let's listen to at least part of it, as it is recorded in the second chapter of Matthew, the first 12 verses. I invite you to listen for the word of God. "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps no account in the New Testament is quite as dramatic or so filled with mystery as that of the Magi coming from the east to pay homage to Jesus in Jerusalem. The image of these wise men sighting the star, loading their camels, and following the star to Bethlehem, to the house where Jesus was staying, to present him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, is one which will be cherished forever by old and young alike during the Christmas Epiphany season. Epiphany means disclosure, manifestation, showing. Perhaps you have also heard the day of Epiphany referred to as the adoration of the Magi, or the manifestation of God. Through the Epiphany text, Jesus is understood to be the light to the nations, not just Israel, but the nations. These exotic Gentile visitors from the east have come to represent the universality of God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. It's fun to consider the legend that has grown up around these visitors. We sang earlier one of my favorite hymns, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And if you followed along with me while reading the verses, you will have noticed actually in Matthew, there is actually no reference to a specific number of magi or wise men. Much less is there any indication that their names are Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, the names most often given to them in Western literature. We can assume that the number three was assigned to the Magi by those who reasoned that since there are three gifts mentioned, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there must have been three wise men. But perhaps, but just as likely, there were more. Our song also describes these travelers as kings. The Greek word magi, translated in our hymn as kings, means an especially learned individual. Thus, our common title, wise men. These men were probably well-versed in astrology and astronomy, men who studied the sky frequently, thus being particularly qualified to notice an astronomical occurrence, which they interpreted as a sign of the birth of a king, a common belief in the days of Matthew. And though for centuries in art, in song, and literature, these visitors have been called kings, in no sense were these individuals kings as we think of kings today, or even kings as described in the Old Testament, but particularly learned and noble men who came to pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews. The third issue raised by this song concerns their origin. Perhaps they were from the Orient. There is really no way to tell. The important thing is really not where they are from, but the fact that they are foreigners, Gentiles. The Matthean community was one in which most of the converts to Christianity were of Gentile origin, not Jewish. Thus, the fact that these wise men, the first to come and worship Christ according to Matthew, were also Gentiles becomes important. Very important, especially to a community consisting primarily of Gentile converts. Locate Jesus they did, and today most of us have no trouble locating the Magi along with the shepherds at the manger on the night of Jesus' birth, even though Matthew reports that they went into the house where they saw Jesus with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. In Bethlehem, they found him. In the city of David, they presented to the Christ child their gifts. The image of these learned, dignified, noble men kneeling before a little boy and offering him gifts has stood and continues to stand as a model of worship and humility for all ages. Three brief points for your reflection of this text this morning. Points appropriate, perhaps, for the beginning of a new year. First, the Magi were receptive to a revelation from God. They were receptive. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star. The Magi were receptive, open to a revelation from God. First a star, then a dream. The hearts and minds of these visitors were open to the possibility that God's presence just might break into their reality. You know, sometimes I fear that we become so closed, so cynical, so clinical, so locked into the scientific technological mindset that even if God knocked us over the head with a 2x4, we'd still miss it. In George Bernard Shaw's play, St. Joan, Saint Joan hears voices. Joan of Arc hears voices from God. And the dolphin is annoyed. Oh, your voices, your voices. Why don't the voices come to me? I am king, not you. And Joan of Arc answers, they do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the angelus rings, you have crossed yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the thrilling of the bells in the air after they stop ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I. Joan was receptive to the voice of God. We've got to be open to the possibility that God may be revealing himself to us, perhaps in some mysterious ways, perhaps in rather ordinary ways. We've got to be receptive as were the Magi. Secondly, after the Magi saw the star and dreamed their dream, they acted. They didn't simply stay where they were, expecting God to come to them. Rather, they traveled, they searched, they studied, they inquired. I was speaking with someone not too long ago who shared with me what many ministers often hear. They would share that they felt something of a spiritual malaise, a sense of disappointment and disillusionment about life. They expressed a desire to be closer to God, to have an active prayer life, to increase in faith. But they didn't know how. And the frustrating thing is that this person was doing nothing about it other than simply talking about it. And I was reminded of what a mentor of mine said when someone asked him how to grow in faith. He answered, "You go where faith is." That means acting, not staying at home on worship on Sundays, but coming to worship. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir today. Being involved in an activity, a Bible study or fellowship. Acting, putting yourself where faith is, where God is, joining a small group, in study, in worship, in service, in fellowship. After being receptive to God's presence, we must act. And finally and ultimately, the journey of the Magi resulted in worship, in the giving of gifts. They gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. You know, we live in a consumer society. And we have come through, as we do each year, the great consumer fest, Christmas. And what great consumers we are. My, oh my, do we consume. The problem is not the consumption, but the problem is that we somehow trick ourselves into believing that joy and meaning and fulfillment are to be discovered in our consumption. And when we still have a pit in our stomachs after it's all over, we think if only we had one in a different color or a different size, we'd be fulfilled. But friends, you and I know deep down that fulfillment in life, and more importantly, right discipleship, consists not in getting, but in giving. In a way, it's as simple as that little song Teresa used to sing to Richard as a kid. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Roll it up, you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. Love is something if you give it away, give it away. Give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. Yeah, it's like that magic penny. The more you give, you lend it, you spend it, the more you get. It's a principle as old as time. You know, there's no such thing as a tight Christian. That's an oxymoron. Like the Magi, in the presence of God, we are compelled to give. Friends, if we want to be as wise as the Magi, let us in this new year and forevermore be receptive to a revelation from God, be willing to act, and give as if our lives depend on it, for in reality, they do.